This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 318, recorded on July 13th, 2017. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite gadgets that home news, reviews, product updates, and conversation for the average customer. I'm your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studio. And I swear we're in the jungle here in Omaha. Mike, I went out this morning, like, misty, you know, I spent some time in Panama, and I know what the jungle smells like, and it was starting to smell like the jungle. I'm done, man. I'm done with the humidity.
I've avoided mowing all week, and the grass is a foot high now because I'm just not going out in it.
Yeah, it's just awful. So I can't wait for fall. Anyways, yeah. We post a show with world-class show notes each week out at theaverageguy.tv. Don't forget, you can also join us live on our mobile app. It's available thanks to LastPass and built by Spreaker. And, of course, you can get those the downloads, big buttons for that, big buttons if you have big fat fingers like me. You can get those out at homegadgetgeeks.com. Really the best way to subscribe, you know, besides your podcast app. So best way to subscribe is that way, homegadgetgeeks.com. We thank LastPass. They were coming on tonight, by the way. I've been talking about this for a while. Amber called a little bit earlier and just said she wasn't feeling very well. And you just don't say, I'm sorry, you got to come on. So we will reschedule with Amber. And, Peter said Spreaker isn't going. Yeah, that's true, Peter. I did not start Spreaker. Thank you for doing that. That's why you have a chat room, Mike. So they can say, hey, jackass,
no
in
kidding.
The middle of the show, you should maybe start Spreaker. Hey, Spreaker, we're live. Welcome. We already started the show, Spreaker, so sorry about that. Just a reminder that Home Gadget Geeks commercial-free on both YouTube and Spreaker. You didn't get an ad if you're listening live on Spreaker. You didn't get an ad out there. That's because I've shut them all off, so you won't get to. We won't spam you with those commercials. If you want to support what we're doing here at Home Gadget Geeks, you can get there's a link to Patreon on our page. Go to theaverageguy.tv or use that fancy Amazon affiliate link or the Average Guy Tech Scholarship Fund, as we like to call it. Available out there, one below the other, right in the right-hand corner. Just check them out. Click on them. We appreciate you supporting the show. All right, Mike. So I mentioned it, no Amber tonight. And so we're like, oh, darn, what do we? We'll have nothing to talk about. Wrong.
We never are at a shortage for stuff to talk about.
No.
Not when you and I get on the mic.
So if you're listening to the show and you're kind of wondering, you're like, okay, what are they going to talk about? So we're going to start with the Dash wand. I think we'll just bring that up. We won't spend a ton of time on it. I'm going to do a callback to the Bitdefender box. We talked about that. Well, I'll save that as we get there. I've got a special announcement. The founder, I have to tell you that here a little bit later. We got a founder coming on. I don't want to give it away. I don't want to bury the lead, right, from that standpoint. Mike and I did a update to I'll talk about that here in a little bit. So you're going to want to stay around for that. And then there's some apps that, we'll talk about some more of that too. So,
yeah, long story short, just stick around.
You don't want to give it all away,
no. Right,
from that standpoint. So, hey, you got a Dash? You got a Dash wand?
I did.
You got a wand?
Yep.
I got a wand.
And you know what? Okay, but before we talk about the actual wand, you did the whole shipping late, getting a credit thing, right?
I did.
And you got it a day after me. Not even, it was supposed to be like today, I think you were supposed to get it. You got it a day after me.
Or next Monday or something like that.
Right. Yeah. And you got the credit, and mine showed up only a day before on Sunday. So yeah. I noticed that when you did your video. I'm like, oh, man, I missed
that. Weird? Yeah, I immediately got a notification that was like, hey, it's coming. And I was like, whoa, I thought it was supposed to be slow boat.
Right.
So, no, it came. And then I thought, well, this would be kind of fun. I had a few extra, minutes that night. So I jumped on Facebook Live. So if you go to the Facebook group, if you want to see about a 15-minute video of kind of a longer demo working through this piece, we're not going to spend a ton of time on it, but we will talk about it some. Mike, you got yours the day before me. Have you actually used it yet for anything?
To be honest, no, not very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the feedback I'm getting on this thing. Well, I tried it for about 5 minutes. I stuck it to the fridge. Done.
That's exactly what I did, actually. Stuck it to the fridge. Didn't even use the hook. Actually, the hook is being utilized otherwise on my desk. But yeah, I have not used it very much. But hey, it was free. I kind of forgot about the $20 credit they give you, because on Amazon Day, I went to go buy a stool for the garage. And it was a $22 stool that I paid $2 for. So you know what? Like, for a free device, I can't complain. I might find a use case for it at some point. but I have not in the first 4 days.
Yeah. Well, so think of it like Amazon Lite, right? So it allows you to do all the things, or I should say, I don't want to say the name, the Amazon device Lite, right? It'll pretty much do most of the things that you would think those kinds of devices can do. So most of us use those to make lists. So you can push the button, add going a trip to Cancun to my shopping list, right? And then
added going a trip to Cancun to your shopping list.
And I love it that she even gets my bad English while I'm doing that. Now that'll show up on our list app. The to-do list would be the same. Add mowing my lawn to the to-do list.
Along to your to-do list.
Yeah, again, I can't speak any English tonight. Ah, darn beer. So simple things like that. When we think about tell me a joke.
Did you hear about the fire at the circus? It was intense.
So there you go. Stupid one, Star Wars joke. Some of those things work. When Mike, I don't know about you, I got some Orville Redenbacher's popcorn here that I like. And of course it's got a little barcode scanner on the back, and really what it's designed to do,
right,
is ping that thing on the back. It's now on my phone. I could order it from Amazon. By the way, $11, is that a good deal? So here's the thing, right? You still want to go check. Still got to go in and like, oh, okay, I got to check these and order them. And
who knows, like $6 back at your store.
I think so.
I think so too. So.
I think it is. But you and I were arguing about this point. I found it much more satisfying. I wish it would confirm and say, I found, Orville Redenbacher's Naturals six-pack at $11.16, I think is what it came out to be. And you were against that. Why?
Mainly because for me, this is a quick device that can go around and imagine like a scanner at Target when you're filling out a registry, boom, 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 like right down the line. Like I'm in my cabinet. And if I had to wait for this thing to like, yes, I got your peanut butter. Okay. Now I can scan the chips. Yes, I got your chips. It just makes it that much slower. And I think if I was going to do that, I can either do that with my phone or I could actually talk to the Amazon device and have her add it for me already. So yeah, I kind of like how it's one click done. Just the noise alone confirms it. You can just keep going on your way. Because I think that is the biggest use case for this is, hey, we're running out of groceries. It's Sunday. Let's go in and scan all the things we want, see what we could get on Amazon. That's kind of my main use because I think I'll have for it. And so as far as that goes, I like that they don't confirm.
Okay. So just different use cases. We're just different. Yep. Somebody had asked me on YouTube or on the Facebook Live, there's a scanner right there. So it just comes right out the front.
Yep.
And it actually listens really well. This is one of those things where, except that in that case, I didn't give it a really good command, but it listens really, really well. And so I think it's easier than the canned devices that we have to use. One of the features it doesn't do, and I kind of wish it did, no music. So you can't listen to the music on it. You can't play podcasts on it. It would be kind of cool if it, and it would, it might ruin it, but a little Bluetooth so you can go to headphones or maybe even something you could plug in. It'd be a cool little walk around the house working on your vacuuming or house chores, plug in your headphones, plug it in there. That'd be kind of cool. You mentioned the hook. I showed you these easily come apart. So you pull that apart and your batteries are right there. If you want to see that there, they give you two batteries, just goes back together, piece of cake, maybe the most unused $20 device I think we see yet.
You know, as we've been talking though, actually I haven't taken this thing to a different room besides the kitchen. I think people naturally take these things to the kitchen because that's where you're going to scan stuff. But what I was just thinking about, this is kind of pretty much a free device that gives me voice control in my office where I don't have an Echo for all the lights and stuff.
Right.
So now I guess I have access to all my home automation from this one device that now could hang in here. So if you want a free device, because it is free as long as you buy something on Amazon, and it can be anything, by the way, there's no restrictions on that $20. It's like a $20 gift card. You can spend it on anything. So you could grab it, put it in the garage, anywhere that you don't want to pay the full 50, whatever, how much of, what's an Echo Dot run now? Like $60, 56?
No, they're 49, but
okay, 49. But still,
during Prime,
they were say $50, and you have one spot. It's portable, could take it around with you. Not a bad option.
Yeah, be interesting to see where they go with it. It's definitely, when you think about a home gadget, it's definitely falls into that really interesting home gadget space. And I think for someone who wanted to use it, you know, Lopta said he can scan a barcode on an item and hit Google search and it'll find all kinds of prices. Yep, you can do that as well. That's a great way to
get and it even done. More useful in the Amazon app, you don't have to scan the barcode. And I think Google does this too. You just click the camera and it looks at the front of an item. It just looks at it and it'll pull it up from Amazon. Now, obviously, that's still just an Amazon. So, I mean, there's more useful features, but that's why I kind of like this as a quick boom, 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 see what it finds and
yeah.
go from there.
Yeah. I do think the integration, because we've got lights, I think that integration kind of in our systems makes it kind of interesting.
Right.
And, you know, I do like the ability to have access to the device no matter where I'm at in the house or what I'm trying to do. So there's some capabilities there. So $20, you get a credit for $20. It's a free device. A bunch of people bought them. I'm not sure they'll get used. They had tried Wand before, and we interviewed somebody who said they had a Wand that had never made it to market. Then all of a sudden, boom, this thing pops up, and you know, we're all talking about it for a few minutes, and then I think it'll go away just as fast as it came.
Right. And one good use case for them too, if your home is a big home automation home where you use the Echo devices to talk to your lights, for people who come into your home and stay with you who maybe aren't as savvy on activating your Echo with their voice. So I'm thinking when my father-in-law comes into town, like I'm just going to hand this to him and say, hey, whenever you need to turn on and off lights, just hold the button, say it, and let go. You don't need to say, hey, whatever. It's just very simple. Hold it, say it, let go. And hopefully, so maybe a simpler device for people who aren't as savvy getting those things to activate. I don't know if there's many people that would use that, but yeah. You know, different use cases, and for free, you can't beat it, right?
Yeah, the cylinders, the microphones haven't always been the best. And so this may be one of those things too, where if you're in a large house, you're across the room, you still want to use the device, right. You can bring this with you. So it's a way better remote from, you know, because today you would take the remote and you would use the remote voice if you were in another room and it could do things, but it's a little more powerful of a remote.
Right.
You think?
And that's an interesting concept. Like, is this their introduction into creating a universal remote? Is Amazon saying, hey, like, okay, let's kind of test it out, see how it goes. When you really think about it, it wouldn't be a bad option for them to do if they could get plugged in. There's a Plex skill for Alexa. So you can use Plex with it already. You know, things like that. If you could get pretty much like a Harmony remote out of something Amazon, could be some direction that they're going. Yeah. Lopta had said, light switches are simple. Very true, but I get very mad when all my family comes over and then all of a sudden the voice doesn't work because they powered off at the switch level and now my Hue lights don't work.
So. Right. Yeah.
More frustration for me.
Right on. Well, so interesting. If you just a little bit of coverage there, there really isn't much more to it than we just talked about. Right. It's a pretty simple device. No. But $20 credit, a $20 purchase, free shipping, and a $20 credit when you get it. I bought the slow boat shipping, which got me another $5 in free shipping. So give it a try if you're interested. I don't think it's a knockdown, drag out, all things, change your world kind of device, but
not at all.
Kind of interesting nonetheless. Last Tuesday, Christian and I did a Cyber Frontiers. And so if you have not resubscribed, because we were gone for a while, so maybe you unsubscribed, we're back. And if you haven't jumped out there, 37, Cyber Frontiers 37, we spend the first part of the show, Christian and I, talking about the Bitdefender box. And so this is a box that Bitdefender tried to sell last year that was supposed to be kind of average guy, plug into your network, about this big, not very big. And why, you know, it's got the power in and out or in and out.
Edge routers you can get nowadays.
Say it again.
Like the edge routers.
Yeah. No, yep. Right on. It's got a wireless. You can create a wireless network with it. Nice. I wouldn't in a box this big, but you know, I would. The 30 devices I connect via Wi-Fi would just smoke this thing probably in 2 minutes. But and the whole intent is you would run your internet through this. It actually becomes a DHCP server in your home and routes then, through the device. And then of course you get all the benefits of Bitdefender's kind of home security. So it's kind of checking to make sure is it a good site. Doesn't need to be blocked. You get some parental control with it. And I thought pretty cool. They were Bitdefender was running a deal. So for $60, I could get the box plus unlimited licensing on total internet security 2017, which is normally three licenses is $50 or something, something like that. So I thought, what the heck? Even if the box doesn't work, the licenses are cool. Well, guess what? The box doesn't work. So it's not the box itself, but I have a Google On Hub. And the on hub today will not allow me to put it in bridge mode. Just one of those things.
Really?
Yeah, one of those things Google took away from the on hub. And so it won't, and I need it to go into bridge mode to be able to pass through the DHCP right. and then turn off DHCP. It won't let me do that either. Now, Google does some things on the unhub router with it's doing some things as well, and it wants control, and this does as well. And so I called their tech support. By the way, super helpful. I called like at 8 o'clock last night, 8 o'clock p.m. Central time zone. You think, oh, I'm going to get a message. I mean, how many people could have really bought this thing, right? And right. you're thinking, I'm going to get a message for sure. Somebody answered, Chuck answered the phone. And I said, hey, Chuck, I got a Bitdefender box and an on-hub. He goes, oh, yeah, no, that's not going to work. I was like, oh, well, that answers my question. And I need, so it will work with a router where you can go and have more configuration. For once, a router, a simplified router kind of bit me.
Right, yeah. right. And yeah. that just shocks me that Google does not let you put into bridge mode. I mean, there should be, like, I get it. You eliminate all features of the on hub essentially when you take off that side because it's a dumb access point. It doesn't have access to anything. But for advanced users, hey, like, let us switch it off. Let us go into bridge mode.
But, you know, I said, I guess I could put the Bitdefender box out ahead of everything and then bring kind of double NAT. And,
yeah.
And he goes, why would you want to do that? I mean, this is Bitdefender. He's like, why'd you want to do that? That's a pretty good router. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. And he's like, we're sorry. Now, what he didn't do is offer any kind of like, well, we're sorry. How about we refund your money because you can't use the, you know, type deal.
Right.
And I don't know if I'm going to push it. I kind of like having the software licenses. You know, yeah. It's a year's worth of unlimited. And, you know, I have a bunch of PCs on the network. So I may just hold on to it. So we couldn't figure out, Christian and I, on Cyber Frontiers, I was having trouble getting it connected at the time, and I couldn't figure it out on the show. So this is a follow-up to that. If you want to hear Christian's point or his kind of take on these kind of devices, you go head over to Cyber Frontiers 37, front part of the show. Listen to the whole thing. It's actually pretty good. But
could you test it with your old access port? So before OnHub, what did you have as your access
point? I had a TP-Link. I had a really cheap like TP-Link, like a $30 router that I was just smoking.
For testing purposes, could you, you know, this week while the family's out of town, could you plug it in and just kind of test it?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Switch it back over.
It's not a long term. I really wanted to use it as from, you know, I can't guarantee in the house. Now, to be honest, if you're installing the total internet package on each of the PCs, it's the same thing.
That's what I was wondering. Why do you need it on a network level? Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's like, wait a minute. It stops you from visiting sites. It blocks ransomware.
So at that point, putting it out ahead of your on hub actually wouldn't be a problem, right? It's just one extra layer. It would filter things before it even got to your on hub, but your on hub still controls bandwidth, still controls everything. I don't think it would be too much of an issue. Really?
No, but yeah, but I had that realization. Like,
but yeah, it's true. If you have it on all your devices,
yeah, the software's kind of doing it for me. If it, you know, if it offered some parental control, which I can get in the software now, if it offered monitoring, which I can get in the software now, if it offered ransomware protection, which it offers in the software now, one of the things it does do, and this was all started by, I think, Tony or somebody in the chat room, and said, hey, have you seen Bitdefender software? That's like a home security monitor, and you install it on a PC and it goes out and runs across the network. It's the same software that runs on the box, by the way, a little different version. This is a Linux box underneath, and that's a Windows version, but it discovers everything and looks for vulnerabilities. And that's something the software kind of does, but it does it at the PC level, and the scanner kind of does it at the network level.
Okay.
So, I don't feel like I'm missing. It is a cool little box. It's got a little blue light underneath there it's recessed in. So when you put it down, you know, it kind of glows.
Right.
It looks cool. I may plug it in just to have it look cool. Like, right. You know, not plug it into anything, but just have it sitting on the shelf like this. I'm like, oh, lights. So, you know, V1 in of the box, V2 is coming out. V2 was demoed at CES and has a lot of fixes that problems that V1 had. And so we'll have to see. I don't know. Again, I didn't pay a lot for it. I wouldn't pay the the 130, I think, is what it is full price out there right now. I would definitely ask for a refund at that point. Lopta says an expensive nightlight. Yeah, a little bit. But isn't that every computer we own, an expensive
nightlight? I'm actually kind of surprised they made it that small. So I'm thinking about the use case, right? I'm thinking this is meant for a very simple home setup where you've got one really router that does everything. You don't have, you know, that would replace an OnHub, that would replace an Airport Extreme, a TP-Link router. I'm surprised they didn't make the wireless capabilities better on that, because now people are forced into two devices. Because if the Wi-Fi, I guarantee, I can tell by the form factor that the Wi-Fi is not going to be good on that thing. So I'm wondering why they didn't just make it a little bit bigger, because now people need an access point and that box. And right. More advanced users aren't going to really use it anyway, I don't think.
No.
So it's interesting. It's kind of a weird niche area. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are customers out there for it, but it doesn't appeal to the masses.
I don't think many. It's definitely not an average guy install. And, you know, it seems like it should be, but you got to get into your router, and you got to know your router name and password. So you got to be able to go 192.168.1.1. Right. And then you, in the app, you give it the router username and password. And it logs into the router for you, and then it turns off this is what it does for you. It turns off the DHCP for you so that your router stops, you know, assigning those, and it starts assigning them. Then you got to log in with the app on your phone to the box. You have to enable the Wi-Fi on it to make the Wi-Fi work. And then you have to, on your phone, switch over to the Wi-Fi that the Bitdefender box is on. Then you can configure it at that point. And I'm like, oh, geez, yikes. So what I'd love to see is an app on the, you know, okay, Google's got a nice little OnHub router. Why can't there just be an app on it that they partner with Bitdefender on, and you just install the app on? There's not much going on. Just let me install it on the Bitdefender box.
Yeah.
Or the Bitdefender, or the OnHub router. So it's, Mike, that stuff's so messy. As we've talked about, like pfSense, and, you know, right, you want to monitor what's coming through, and you want to put packets in. I mean, that's great for us, but there's still no great, you know, when you think about a device, the router manufacturers, the wireless router, I was hoping the Google OnHub and all this movement would make them easier, and they're still really difficult.
Well, and what we need is, you know, this is hard because no one's going to make money on it. That's why no one's done it. But essentially a pfSense, a free open source piece of software that you can put on just like DDWRT, but yeah, not nerdy. Like DDWRT is nerdy, advanced. We need bare bones for the average person, you know, my parents when they go to set it up, but that's actually secure, configurable, and things like that. And so maybe someone comes out with that, and you could flash your, you know, your Archer device with that, with that software. But, you know, there's no money in that, so no one's going to do it.
Yeah, no. So, interesting. I was sending a tweet over to the Bitdefender support team. You know how in Twitter you bring up your messages, and I had sent them a message a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, asking them to demo this box because it had just come out last year. And I was like, hey,
they hadn't responded.
They had not. Well, no, they said, what did they say? They said something. They politely said no.
Gotcha.
And so I was like, well, okay. But when I saw the price, and I knew I'm a Bitdefender customer anyway, and I knew I could pick up an unlimited license for a year of all that for $60. I thought, what the heck? And I got my antivirus payment, you know, every year, you know, they come due. And if you're going to buy them, if you're going to use them, I always did that stuff at Christmas time. And so in the most expensive times of the year, I was spending $50, $60, $70, whatever, on antivirus. I moved it to July. So that effectively moved it up to July, which was good for me. Not that vacations and stuff aren't expensive during the summer, but
this is when all of mine hit. My Xbox Live, my Amazon Prime, my EA All Access, everything hits in July. I don't know why. I just have bad timing.
Yeah. Well, you got to spread those things out, right?
You do. And I do a terrible job of it.
You got to spread them out. Speaking of spreading out, let's use that as a transition. So if you haven't been keeping up with home tech tips, and why would you? I haven't done it in a year, but Mike and I in post show last week talked about the service called Storj, and it's Storj. If you want to follow along with us, Mike and I kind of do a demo of it, of me setting it up. It's kind of the introduction to this storage concept on Home Tech Tips 37. Mike, give a quick synopsis, a 1-minute synopsis of what Storj is.
Yeah, and I'm still getting used to calling it storage because I read it as Storage. And I think actually Storage sounds cool and better. But anyway, storage, it's distributed storage. So think about, they use the blockchain as their database, and it is essentially a storage service that you would pay for, you would upload files to, and it is not stored at a corporate headquarters data farm or data center or anything like that. Instead, people like Jim and I and anyone who wants to volunteer up hard drives, it gets cut up into shards, encrypted, and sent out to all of us who have hard drives available. And the idea is they are paying us in their own Ethereum-based token. So essentially, in like bubblegum and paper clips is what they're paying us in right now.
It's worth
so
nothing.
50 cents. I mean, yeah, it's worth like 50 cents. So we'll see. I mean, apparently if you were to fill up, you know, 5 whole terabytes and have a lot of traffic, you could make, you know, $50 a month or something like that. But I'm not expecting anything. If I could get $10 a month out of it, that would be fun for me. But yeah, so an interesting concept. And Jim and I last week, I had got it installed, I think 2 days before the show. Jim installed it on Thursday. And it's got a GUI that gives you statistics like how much of how much is being stored on your hard drives and how many contracts. They call these things contracts, which is pretty much anytime someone says, hey, I need a place to put this file, and your system says, hey, I will take it. It forms a contract. So it gives you a counter. But other than that, very, very just basic. Not much info. No, I mean, the GUI is super not user-friendly, I think. When you go and do any sort of changes to settings, it's opening up config files in your text editor, and that's how you're changing them. So it's still very, I call it beta. And I think, I don't know if they still consider themselves in beta or not. I think they're actually not. I think they're out of beta, and this is their first release. But nonetheless, interesting for them to follow.
The version of the software we're running right now, it's not bad. And, you know, I think it's easy. You know, you walked me through it. And so if you go back to Home Tech Tips 37, you're kind of walking me through the process. And once I set it up, I was like, yeah, this is pretty easy. Oh, I think I have 3 nodes kind of set up, and they're like a 500 meg and a 750, no, I'm sorry, a 500 gig, 750 gig. And then on the Kangaroo, put a hard drive in that extension, maybe 320, so maybe like 300 okay, or something like that. And so far, you know, I've gotten about 40,000 contracts, whatever that means. And in all 3 of the nodes, it's loaded somewhere between 45 and let's say 60 meg, which is not a lot, you know.
No,
and, but you've picked up some. This reminds me, we talked about this last night. This kind of reminds me of the old Voila. We talked about this in post show last week. You know, where you could kind of do this whole idea of community storage. You're renting out this additional hard drive space. In Voila's case, you would get extra cloud storage. So yeah, I think it was a 2-for-1. So you'd get 1 for every 2 megs that you gave, or gigs that you gave, you'd get back in cloud storage. And it was pretty cool. And then, of course, they used that as well. Didn't go very well. And they ended up shutting that down. This has got a chance because there's a little bit of a paid plan behind this, which is their trying to sell this extra storage. This is a huge mistake because no enterprise in the world is going to let their shards be put anywhere except where they control them.
Right.
That sentence kind of sounded funny.
Well, yeah. With their shards. We so, say where we put our shard. Yeah.
Hey, look, I control my shards. I do think it would have a play in the consumer space, but they are definitely not interested, at least at this point, of making any kind of like Dropbox like integration. Even the integration to it through the API, and I tried setting some stuff up, and it was kind of like you can get 25 gig free, but it's not Dropbox 25 gig. It's not a web app that you go to and you've got a file structure.
And so, if you're on a Mac, good luck. Like it is, I gave up on it. I tried to download the application to upload files but it's still nonetheless a fun project to kind of play with and follow and see if it actually does go somewhere. They went through a bunch of leadership changes recently. The CEO is no longer the CEO, and so they're bringing in someone else. And so a lot of kind of changes going on over there. So we'll see what direction they end up going in.
It has kept me kind of in tune with Bitcoin and Ethereum, two different implementations of of this coin, of a Bitcoin concept on the blockchain. And so that's kind of interesting. I was watching, I've had the Bitcoin price up and it's been fluctuating between 2,500 and 2,300, let's say. And Ethereum has gone between $185 and $225, let's say. And so it's kind of an interesting, you know, whether it pans out or not, I'm not wasting. I mean, I'd have the PCs turned on.
Right.
I would, right. I mean, I'm not really, it's not churning cycles, so to speak, until it's moving some data. At this point, I haven't given it enough data that I could really bust my plans. So anyways, it's keeping me involved in the blockchain. And I think, hey, the other day I was at work and we started talking about the blockchain and doing some general ledger work through the blockchain. I thought, oh crap, if our accounting is starting to talk about the blockchain, I might want to pay attention to what's going on.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Keeps you in the know. That's why I do it too.
Yeah. So no, pretty good. And out in the chat room, they're talking about Blurry. Maybe they too are on their second beer. So cheers, yeah, right? to blurriness, right?
Yeah. You are cutting out a ton for me. So I'm catching I'm still catching all the audio, I think, but it's just the video is pretty much unusable.
All right, here, let's make a switch. Hold on. Hopefully that won't show up on the recorded version of it. Have I been cutting in and out? Is that what's been going on?
A little bit, mainly just super blurry. And Rennie said him too. So I thought maybe it was my dad.
So that's,
Tony says, yep, you're blurry.
I'm blurry. All right. Well, we don't want to be blurry. So we'll jump into this is where I wouldn't want to give up my OnHub router, right? So I can literally pop in. It's going to give me some devices. Those are hard to see. I'm going to say, hey, let's go to the studio PC. I'm going to say, hey, let's change the prioritization from, it's prioritized for an hour. Let's just prioritize it for the next 2 hours. Okay. So it'll take a second for this PC to get priority. You can tell me if I get any better or any clearer. It looks super good here.
I'm sure.
Oh, I can see in the recording. It doesn't look great. Yeah.
Another Jim says four Yikes. Beers blurry. not even well, two
I'm
beers
on,
blurry.
I'm on a second beer. Yikes! Holy cow! Well, hopefully, let's see if that makes it. No, I'm still kind of blurry. Entering on this side as soon as we started talking about storage.
Yeah. Right.
It went to crap. Okay. Well, let's keep going. Mike, you have been, you've been flying your drones. And the other day I saw a little test drone, a test shot that you did and you were doing some voiceover work. And I swear you had a headset on when you were doing it, but no, it was just coming right off your phone on the control. And then you bring the drone down and face it towards you. And I saw your phone right there. And I was like, right. Oh my gosh, this is great. Tell me about, so just besides, we've talked a lot about drones and stuff, but what else are you using in your business now when we think about the drone and the drone software?
Yeah, so the live stream that you saw, so you can actually live stream to like YouTube, Facebook, any other RTSP stream that you want to set up, all within the DJI app. So using straight out of the box, the app you usually use on your phone. And I really like it because like you said, it pulls the video from the drone. Audio wise, it pulls from the microphone on your phone, which is plugged in the controller and what you're looking at. So yeah, it was kind of cool. I got to give kind of our community a behind the scenes look of what it's like when we're at a client. So we were actually in between shots. So I was like, hey, we'll stream to Facebook and we'll kind of show them kind of what we're doing and stuff like that. But so really cool functionality built right in. I really like that. But as far as other apps that we're using in our business, I tweeted the other day that if you are thinking about starting a new business and you're just kind of wishy-washy about it, and if it relates at all to just kind of being, you know, I don't want to do the accounting side of thing, growing the business, that sounds hard, you know, all that stuff, setting it up, there is no better time, I think, than right now to start a business because there are services and apps out there that make it extremely easy. So I was going to kind of just go through some of my top like three or four apps that I just could not live without. And some of them are very, you know, obvious and everyone will be like, oh yeah, do you use that? But other ones maybe you guys haven't heard of before. So the first one is Google Apps. So obviously people know about Gmail and Docs and stuff like that. And you would have an account like mike@gmail.com. But Google Apps, what it allows you to do is pretty much create a company. So it is meant for businesses. You pay per user and you say, okay, you have a domain. So when I bought upshotomaha.com, you take that over to Google Apps and you basically create your own little business environment. It gives you a private side of things. So your email now is whatever user you have at upshotomaha.com. So that's how we get our email all taken care of, is actually through the Google Apps. We use the Google Drive to upload to and share out to our clients. So when I upload a final video, I put it in a Google Drive folder that's with Google Apps with our Upshot account, and then share it out to the client that way. So we use Google Docs all the time for that sort of stuff. And that is just the best $15 a month you can pay. I still think that's what the price is. I think it's $15 a user. And so if you want more than that, you could get more, you could add more people to your team. So it grows with you is what I like about it. And I think that's kind of been my favorite aspect of all these new apps now. They are scalable, because before this whole trend, you would have to go out and buy a really expensive like accounting piece of software. And it'd be really expensive. You would be paying $1,000 or more for the software. And then you had it. There was no difference between, hey, I'm a solo guy. It's me and that's it. Or there's 500 people at this company. So the overall trend in all these apps I use is that they are all scalable. So when you start with Google Apps for $15, that's really good for unlimited storage. And I know we talked the other day about, you know, how many companies are sticking with unlimited. According to them, on our Google Drive, we still have unlimited storage. So for $15, you get unlimited storage there. You can set up a bunch of alias email accounts. So like contact@upshotomaha.com actually goes to my account. So you can create a bunch of aliases for free. And yeah, you just can't beat that cost for $15. I don't know what other services you could buy for $15. Most of the time, if you buy, you know, a custom domain email through, let's say, your domain provider like hover.com or GoDaddy, you're going to pay $5 to $10 a month just for that email service, let alone all the other things that Google gives you. So yeah, so Google Apps is the first one. The second one that I really like, and you guys, if you listen to podcasts at all, have heard advertisements for them, but you may have never used them, is FreshBooks. So FreshBooks is our cloud-based accounting software. And like I said, you've probably heard an ad for them. And the product is as good as the advertisement states. And I can now see why, you know, people like Dave Ramsey and all the podcast people are using these guys and supporting them, because it does actually work. So with FreshBooks, you pay, I think it does start again, I think $15 is like the magic number. So I think I start at 15, maybe even less. I want to say maybe $5 or $10 for 1 to 5 clients. And you can rotate those clients out. So if at one time you never have more than 5 clients, because like I said, you can rotate them out, you could use the $5 to $15 plan. And what I like about FreshBooks is it's all done via an app or on the web browser. You don't have to download any piece of software, stores everything in the cloud. You have a new client and you pretty much just put them in the contacts of FreshBooks, and you can send a invoice to them. You could send an estimate to them. I like the estimate feature, because we use that with Harley Davidson. They'd say, hey, come out and do this event. I'd say, okay, let me put together an estimate for you. You go in there, it's just super simple. All the branding, it adds in your logo, send it off via email, and it just couldn't be simpler. And then my favorite part about FreshBooks is, I've sent them this estimate. I convert it. There's just one button. Hey, convert this to an invoice after you've done it. It sends it out to them via email. I get an alert when they open it and when they see it, and then they can pay online via credit card, and it's all done. So they can either, you know, they could mail me in a check if they wanted to, or they can just click one button, pay. The fees are not too bad. I think it's like 2.7% for Visa and MasterCard plus 30 cents. So again, I mean, those are the fees you're going to pay across the board if you accept credit card. So if you're into the convenience, and I think the two clients I've had that have used that side of things have really liked that convenience of being able to pay online with a credit card, comes right to me. I get an alert, hey, this is saved. And then at the end of the year, the best part about this too is FreshBooks actually links to your bank account. So if we have a business account for Upshot, it links in and it pulls in all of the expenses from your bank account and it categorizes them for you. So without, I don't have to go in and enter any expenses. If I use my work debit card for anything, I went to Walmart and had to buy an SD card, it showed up, it categorized it, and it labeled it as supplies. It got actually Walmart correct. That was probably buying supplies there. And it, so at the end of the year, and even right now, I could go pull a snapshot of profit and loss, all the information that you need for tax time, everything is all in there. Super simple. Like it could not be an easier piece of software to run. So I really, really like FreshBooks. And Tony out in chat says, you know, many of his podcasts do endorse them. And yeah, and I can totally see why. I was kind of skeptical at first to give them a try because I don't really care for their branding too much, to be honest. I don't think it looks professional. I think it looks kiddish. And even it's my one gripe about it. When you get into the dashboard, it kind of feels like you're using a toy. I kind of wish it looked like I was using a professional piece of software, but it doesn't. But you can't beat the price, and the functionality is fantastic. And their customer support, I tweeted the other day that I've gone back and forth with some other customer support issues with this business. And I contacted FreshBooks, and they not only went above and beyond to make sure that they weren't the cause of the issue I was having, they wanted to help me find a solution for other platforms that caused the problem. Like they're like, he's like, oh, well here, let's try this. Let's try this. Cause I wasn't getting a response from the other company. And this guy was just like all about it. Like here, I'm going to help you all across the board. So their customer service could not be any better. So yeah.
And no kickback to the podcast. If you go to FreshBooks, they don't advertise here.
Yeah, no, sadly they don't, but you can always get a 30-day free trial. I think you don't even need a code to get the 30-day free trial, because I had the trial without entering in any code. So I don't think you actually need one unless you want to, you know, support your podcast. So those two are kind of the main ones, right? You think you're accounting, you need to keep track of your money, super simple. You need to keep track of like your email and all that stuff. And then I'll just talk about two more real quick. So the down and dirty is I tried to get Square. If you guys know about Square, it's where you can accept credit cards on the go. So you plug it into your phone or you plug it into an iPad and you can accept credit cards. And the long story short was they ran into an issue with something about my name, my account, or something that I got put on some list that I confirmed later. I'm not actually on. Square had it wrong, but Square was just every email I sent to their support would take a day to respond and they would have the same canned answer. So they were not willing to help. They essentially deactivated my account and said, nope, sorry, you're off the system. And I hadn't even used it yet. I signed up for a brand new account and the next day it was disabled before I even got to use it. So ended up going with PayPal here. So if you guys are looking for a Square alternative, and if you are already fans of PayPal, PayPal has the same exact functionality in PayPal here. They will ship you one of their readers. You can actually use the Square reader with PayPal here. It's the same piece of technology, but they will ship it to you. It'll actually get to you faster than when Square ships theirs out, but basically a very simple way to accept payments when you are out in the field. So for someone like me who does drone work or photography work or anything where you're going out and about, PayPal here, it works great. I've done a few test swipes on it. It works well. Money's into your account fairly quickly. I think within 3 to 5 business days, just that's about the norm nowadays. And it's one of those apps that once you have it and your customer's like, wait, I can pay right now with a credit card, they're already getting used to that because it's a pretty standard thing. This is nothing new. I'd say within the last year or two, people are really starting to use Square and PayPal here to pay in the field, but gives your customers just that one more little thing that's like, oh, that's really convenient. I really like that. I didn't have to go in and get my checkbook. I didn't have to get cash and write you a check or anything like that. And then the last one we will talk about real quick is just AdWords Express. So there's a lot of complex ways that you can deal with Google AdWords. And if you get into the full AdWords platform, it's extremely customizable and everything like that. But if you are not a marketing person, if you do not want to mess with that, there's actually a simpler version called AdWords Express. And it is a extremely simple, if you just want to set up a quick advertisement. So you pick your region. So I picked Omaha. I said, when anyone searches drone, Omaha, videography, anything like that, in any sort of combination, that's where I want my website to show up. So sure enough, if you are in Omaha, and Jim might be actually in the area now, where if he Googled right now, like drone Omaha, I might show up as one of those top little advertisements. But it's extremely easy to use and it creates all the combinations for you. So you enter some keywords and then it does the rest of like combining those into phrases and finding other words that might be relevant to you. You set, hey, I want to spend this much. Reminds me of setting up a Facebook ad, if you guys have ever done that. But you guys just, you pick a budget. You say, hey, I'll spend X, Y, and Z for a month or a week or a day. And it goes through the process of doing that for you, and it's recurring. So you can set it to just, hey, every month, just reset, you know, reset the, if I'm going to spend $25 a month, let me do that every month. And it's just, it could not be easier. And I think if you are a solo person without a marketing department, Google AdWords is where you should spend every single bit of your advertising budget, if you have any. I was trying to advertise on Facebook and Twitter, and yeah, you'll get maybe views on your posts, but as far as engagement to the company, not very much. And when you think of, if someone's going on Google and typing in drone video Omaha, more likely than not, they are looking for someone to film a drone video in Omaha. And when you show up at the top, that's relevant. If someone's scrolling through their Facebook feed and my paid thing just shows up and they watch a 2-second video of something I did, okay, great, but they weren't looking for that at the time. So I'm a true believer that right now, unless you are a bigger company and unless you are a social media guru and you are trying to really build up your social media following, if you're trying to just get people in the door or people to call you and have you do stuff for your service, I think AdWords Express is the way to go. So those are just a few of the top apps. I have a bunch more, but we don't need to go into them. But I think those four, essentially, if you get those up and running, you could have that up and running within an hour or two, all four of those. You could be all set with a new business. And I find that fascinating. I love it. I like that entrepreneurs can just start stuff in the blink of an eye and just have everything up and running.
Yeah, you didn't start it in the blink of an eye. It took a little bit of work to get some things going.
Well, it takes time to, you know, build a company. But as far as getting the backbone infrastructure set up, I had that done the first night. I was like, okay, so we got, you know, we have the accounting software, we have the Google Apps, and all that is just super simple to set up. Now, building the following, using Google AdWords Express, getting things set up, getting the issues worked out, yeah, that might take a little bit. But just getting your backbone set to support whatever you want to do is extremely easy.
So I went to Google, drone video Omaha.
Yep.
Maybe it's because I'm in Bellevue, right? But Jordan Green comes up, jordangreen.com.
So what is one of the advertisers up top?
The ad one at the top is jordangreen.com.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, let's see what.
Yep, and see with my budget, obviously it's not going to show up for everyone that searches because I don't have that big of the budget. So Omaha drone, I wonder if I do it here, what I get.
Still motion. This is pretty slick. His tagline is Stills Motion Stories.
All right,
it's pretty slick.
It's pretty good. There you go.
Let's see where did that go? Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing with Google AdWords too, right? It's not going to work every single time.
Well, and I mean, if you said, hey, spend $1 million a month. Yeah. Everyone that searches anything like that could show up. But they're going to limit it.
What do you spend or what's a good, what have you found is like a good sweet spot?
I think the minimum actually now, I think they increased it. The minimum monthly is $50. So you have to spend at least $50 a month to get that to go. Now they will give you a credit. So you spend, I think, $50 and you get the next $100 free. So they make your first 3 months pretty easy. $50 for the first 3 months, essentially, for the minimum.
Anything else in that discussion around apps or anything that you got, or should we wrap it?
No, I think that's a good place to wrap it.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Remind everyone on July 27th, special Thursday night, we are going to have the founder of ReadyNAS on the program. And he sold that ReadyNAS to Netgear. So they own that now. Now he has a new startup called Morrow Data, Morrow. And we're going to have them on. So we're going to get a little nostalgic and we're going to talk about his new product, which is kind of fun. So I met him on the phone the other night. His name is Paul. And Paul started getting really nostalgic. As I told him I was a home server guy, he started getting super nostalgic and went all the way back to like 2003. And I was like, sweet. I said, all right, hold on to this conversation. I have the perfect audience for you.
Right.
And so this is going to be a good one. And he's a good guy. So he's going to come on July 20. I believe that's the 27th. And it's going to be great. And you're going to want to be a part of it. Ted said Sys Admin Day. Last Friday in July is the 28th. So celebrate Sys Admin Day by coming out Thursday night. Get started early. It's going to be all server stuff, all NAS server stuff, all home server stuff. And then celebrate Sys Admin Day. That's Ted's deal, by the way. He's the founder of that. On the last Friday of July, the 28th. So we got a great weekend ahead for you. And that is coming up and you want to come and join us live. I'd love to have him. It's kind of like when we had Veronica on and you guys did a great job of a bunch of you coming out. Join us live. We'd love to have you out here. By the way, we are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern out here at theaverageguy.tv live. We are going to reschedule LastPass. that we just didn't get them tonight. Amber was not feeling good, so we gave her the night off. We'll get them back maybe later in August. Don't forget, we have a Patreon link available for it if you want to financially support the podcast. The link to that, as well as the one for the Amazon, you know, the Amazon link for the Tech Scholarship Fund, available for you out there. Just head out to theaverageguy.tv and click on either one of the banners, and it will get you there as well. You can contact the show, send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. You can find me on Twitter @jcollison. All those ways to connect. Those are really the best way. And I'm on Twitter a bunch these days, so send me. I've been having fun, actually, in the evenings, Mike. The community's been tweeting a lot more. Tony's been out there tweeting.
Yeah.
It's just, it's awesome. Tony, you're just a monster tweeter, by the way. Can you call somebody that, a monster tweeter?
Monster tweeter? Yeah, sure.
Is that like jumbo shrimp? I don't know. So, but Tony's out there leading the way. And so if you want to join the conversation, there's some great stuff going on Twitter @JCollison. I'll get you to me, but we're just, seems like we're having more and more conversations on Twitter. So it's kind of fun, kind of old school, but kind of fun. Don't forget the AverageGuy.tv platform, both web and media hosting provided by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. For more information, contact Maple Grove Partners. That's Christian. MapleGrovePartners.com. Plans, $10 a month. Mike, you should make your way back.
I think I might. Yeah.
Time to make your way back.
Come back. Come to home. The Come home.
Come home, Mike. You've been out, you harlot. You've been out. You've been out spending nights, not even married to Squarespace.
Overpaying for slower service and locking up the website when I could have high-speed, reliable hosting from people you know and trust. And, you know, that's Christian Johnson. So.
You got me figured out.
Gotcha figured out. There you go. Figured out.
I just say it the same way every time. That's a trick of radio. It's a radio trick. You know, that's what you do.
Perfect. It ingrains in your head.
Then you would know right now to tell people that they should download our app, right? HomeGadgetGeeks.com if you want to get the app. Best way to listen on the road, of course. If you're on a train, in a plane, in a car, something like that. Best way to do that while you're traveling. Head out to HomeGadgetGeeks.com. And, of course, we thank LastPass for their sponsorship of that app. And we appreciate their sponsorship of everything they do. We're live 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. Love to have you come out. Well, I'm sure we're going to have some fun in the post show. You can't get the post show. Well, there's two ways now to get the post show. One, be here. That's the easy way. That's the cheap way. If you're going to be cheap, come out. Two, go to Patreon. Give us a buck on Patreon. And I send you the post show video and or audio every single week. So you can be cheap, but you got to come out. You're going to pay for this in time or money, right?
Time. You choose.
Time or money. Patreon, $1. Out here, live, free.
And sometimes either there's way, little nuggets in the pre and post show. You never know.
Yeah. Well, tonight's could be really interesting. I'm just going to say it's been a weird show, but we appreciate you guys coming out tonight. Good to see you all in the chat room. We'll be back next week. And with that, we'll say goodbye, everybody.